in the body. And looking at the section of Masons that Representative Bergeron has referenced in regards to proceeding with the orders of the business of the day, if you look at section 257, it says, under modern legislative practice, the order and manner in which the business of the body is considered is set out in the rules so that it follows a definite and predictable order. To vary from the plan provided for in the rules is a violation of the rules and is permissible only under the suspension of the rules. If you look at H20-60, opening and order of the business, the opening of each legislative day must include the invocation, a pledge of allegiance, and roll call. Following the opening, the order of business as follows, and then you have communications, reports, messages, first reading, second reading, third reading, motions, and unfinished business. We feel that it is important to follow our rules and to follow Masons so that we can conduct the people's business, and that includes proceeding through each of those in a timely manner. We feel it's important to enforce the rules, and if there are questions of the presiding officer's duties, then it is appropriate to subject those to the control and the will of the body. With regards to agendas, the speaker may arrange the agendas, but the representatives have the opportunity to rearrange the agendas if you look at 40-130. And I think we would like the opportunity as the body to be able to conduct the people's business and to put the people's business on the agendas so that we can continue to move forward. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Representative Reinhart. Is there any further discussion? Representative Noonan.
Mr. Chairman, I think that we can, along with quoting the rules, we can just actually look at this fairly logically. Is every time that we move from one of the orders of business, the speaker has to say, without objection, we'd like to go to order of business number three. The reason for that is the basic law says that you have to move through the orders of business in a particular fashion. And so we don't object to moving in and out of the orders of business, generally speaking. But if the agenda could be set whenever, or if in fact the rules didn't apply, there would be no reason to ask the body for its permission to move from one order of business to the other. But I think we're dealing with something that's much greater here, which is the belief that somehow in the convening years, the Speaker's office has actually become a co-governor's office in some sense, that can actually hold legislation, can veto legislation, can deal with legislation that's moved through the process in an orderly fashion, that somehow that office can be used to stop those bills from going in an orderly fashion. And Masons is full of references to the fact that you cannot dilatoriously hold bills against their normal process, regardless of who you are. If the speaker could veto legislation by not scheduling it, then why did we grant some sort of a power, veto power, to the governor in terms of the Constitution? Now, apparently other speakers have done this. I wasn't here when they were done, but stopping the regular movement of bills through this process is the wrong thing to do. And by us attempting to utilize these rules, all we're doing is trying to get the actual order of business, get the business of the House back on track. Mr. Chairman.
Any further discussion? Okay, I have, but before we call for the question, I'm going to respond to these observations. Regarding rules, Masons does not supersede our House rules. Therefore, we are using our House rules as what we're discussing. That is what the challenge came under. It was our rules, not Masons. So let's be clear. The second thing is regarding order of business. It has been the rule since day one, and it still is the rule, that the speaker, according to the rules, has the full authority to set the agenda of the day. When if this body would prefer for the speaker to rearrange it every day in an order that was expeditious, and the example I use is a third reading vote, because sometimes our members aren't there, that is his authority to set that agenda. It is always the ability of the House to try to vote to supersede the Speaker's rule. It is also the ability of the House to reconsider an action, which is exactly what has happened. And once we convene here, it is the ability of the House to challenge the ruling of the Rules Committee. And if a majority vote so deems, that's what will happen. So we're well aware of the rules and of the speaker's duties and of the order of the business. And what this is, in my opinion, is dilatory in itself, because had we moved into the committee, conference committee reports that we're attempting to meet at 10 o'clock, those committees would have been moving forward doing their business. It is extremely accurate to say that there is no attempt to deny going into order of business number 9 motions today, and because the minority feels that the minority wants to set the agenda on its own based on when we do motions or when we do a second reading, they always have the right to vote on that. And no one is questioning the need to carry the business of the House forward. Therefore, it is my opinion that the challenge should be of Representative Bergeron should be overruled by this committee. So without further ado, I call to take the question if someone wants to call for it. What I would ask is for someone to move the question on whether or not to uphold Representative Bergeron's challenge to the Speaker. A yes vote means you do uphold Representative Bergeron's challenge. You are voting for Representative Bergeron's challenge. A no vote means you are voting against Representative Bergeron's challenge of the Speaker. Take a roll call vote.
Representative Glazer?
No.
Representative Noonan?
Yes.
Representative Barrett?
No.
Representative Bergeron?
Yes.
Representative Blaisdell?
No.
Representative Campbell?
Yes.
Representative Gallick?
Yes.
Representative Himmelberger?
No.
Representative Kearns?
No.
Representative Lake?
No.
Representative McLaren?
No.
Representative McAlpin?
Yes.
Representative McGillivray?
No.
Representative Parker?
Yes.
Representative Reinhardt?
Yes.
Representative Sales?
No.
Representative Sanju?
No.
Representative Villa?
Yes.
Representative Lang?
No.
It's 11-8.
11-8. Okay, the motion fails. Representative Bergeron.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. In the interest of moving the people's business forward, I'd like to appeal the ruling of the Rules Committee and record this on a vote on the floor, Mr. Chairman.
So noted. Representative Bergeron will go to the board.
Thank you,
Mr. Chairman. This committee is adjourned.
Thanks. I will.